Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34. Ezekiel, chapter number 34. We're going to be trying to share with you here this morning and pray that God would help us as we try to do so. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Wednesday night, we looked at verse number 26, and I just lifted that verse out and talked about the showers of blessings, and we talked about the blessings of Jubilee, and surely they were great blessings of Jubilee, and we continue, pray they will continue in our lives and days to come. Ezekiel chapter 34, ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Verse number 11. Verse number 11. For thus saith the Lord God, and that's favored saying of Ezekiel throughout the book, as the word of the Lord came unto me, of thus saith the Lord God. He uses that many times. Look at verse number 1, the word of the Lord came unto me. Then that term son of man is used about 90 times for him in this book, and is literally filled with prophecy and some great truths revealed in it. Verse number 11, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I'll bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. In a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which is driven away, will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. We're going to stop reading there and bow our heads and pray and ask God to help us here this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us here today. Father, all the requests have been made and people that are sick, and we do pray for and lift them to you. In Jesus' name, I ask that you'll touch their bodies and help them, and we'll praise you for all that you do. Then, Father, we pray today for those that have problems and difficulties and different families, different situations that are abounding. I pray you minister in a real way into their hearts and lives and help them. Then I pray here today you'd help us as we endeavor to preach. I pray for the touch of God. Help us to think and be able to say what you want us to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit be real in this place and breathe on us. Thy presence be manifested in the power of God moving in hearts and lives. I pray for those today that are here and they're lost or without God. I pray today be the day. Real conviction of the Holy Ghost be real upon them and draw them and bring them to repentance and a place of salvation. I pray for those who may be out of the will of God or may be cold, indifferent, and need to get right with the Lord. I pray today be the day. God, encourage you people, strengthen all of us. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Now, Lord, I stand here today and realize the fact that we need God to move on the scene. Need that divine touch of God, the power of God to breathe on us. Father, we beseech you in Jesus' name, plead the blood and claim that victory in Jesus, in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to think about a phrase that's used here that the Lord uses, and it's God's I will. He said, I will. And notice how many times, I didn't count the time, but I will search, I will seek, I will feed, I will lead, I will. And I want to talk about God's I will. And I want to get the setting right, and I want you to understand me today. The word Ezekiel, the name Ezekiel itself means God strengthens me. And God, I pray, will strengthen us today to preach. And I pray he strengthen you to hear. And God will strengthen this service with his presence and power be demonstrated in this place. Then as we look at this chapter, let me say in context of Scripture, there's no question but what he isn't talking about Israel. There's no question he's not talking about his chosen people that he's going to bring back one day, going to lead back. In fact, is in chapter 34 and verses down through verse 10, he's really bringing an indictment against the shepherds of that day, the leaders of that day. He has brought an indictment against them because they have let the people scatter, have not preached the truth or prophesied truth nor led them in the right way. As a pastor, that brings some real fear to my heart. It brings me to sober and thinking about my responsibility to preach and to lead in the right direction and that I stay true to the Word of God and what God would have to be done. If I don't, then I answer to God for that. You read that indictment and it'll bring fear to your heart. And he indicts them because of the fact they did not lead the people right. They did not feed them right. They did not. They let them scatter and let them go. And God then says, makes a statement. And comes to chapter, verse 11 in chapter 34. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will search and will seek out my people. He's saying, I will do it. And he's making a statement. And you can rest assured in verse number 12, in the latter parts, he talks about they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Now, he's talking about the day of the Lord, talking about in the day of tribulation, the day Israel will be scattered. Surely they'll be turned against by the Antichrist. And it's going to be a terrible time for them and be a dark day. Amos talked about it being a dark day. And it will be a dark day for them. But God will seek them and bring them back to his place in Jerusalem. He will establish a kingdom. He will rule and reign. He will do what he said he'll do. But today I want to go and take the different slant on this scripture. And I'm talking about direct interpretation. That's where it is. I don't want you to think I'm preaching heresy or taking something out of context or doing something that's not right. Now, he is talking directly to Israel. He is dealing with the nation Israel. And every application is made to Israel. It's a true prophecy that will be fulfilled one day. That's for sure. But I see in this and reading this and thinking about it, looking at it, I see in it a real picture of what God does about salvation. What God does for his people today, how God does for his today. I'm interested in what God is doing. I'm interested in what God's going to do with Israel. God put it in his book, and so it's something I need to know about. He wouldn't put it there. And so I realize the children of Israel, God's chosen. He will bring them back. All that's going to happen. But here God says, I will. I got to think about that and relating it to salvation and to our lives as Christian people and what God says to us. And God's I wills. Now you remember this, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. He's the one. Salvation's of God. And you can't get out of that. You can't bypass that no matter how you look at it or what you do with it. Now let me again, I'm trying to set the stage what I'm going to say, and I'll get to it in a little bit if God will help me get there. But as we set the stage for it, remember this, that everybody has a choice about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about predestination in the sense, I believe in predestination in the Bible sense, that we are predestined in Christ to be conformed to the image, amen? We're predestined to be like him. And God's working on us now. And he's molding us, making us now. And he's still working. The children sing that little song sometimes. He's still working on me. He is. He's still working on me. And so we're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. And that will happen. That will take place. And he is working on it. But everybody has a choice about Jesus when they're confronted with Jesus Christ. And conviction comes and God deals in that heart and that life. And the Bible says, whosoever will, whosoever will. And I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. You'd have to take the whosoever wills out to be a hyper-Calvinist and believe that. I believe Jesus died for every man. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus made a little lower than angels for suffering and death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I believe he takes a death for every man. If they will believe it and will accept him, they can be saved. Amen. I'm glad. I don't have to preach and say, well, you may not be one of the elect and you may not be able to get in and may have to leave you out. I don't have to preach like that. I can preach to everybody the same gospel, same message, and know it's the will of God to save everybody that will believe. He said it was not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But now let me insert this. Remember that God also knows everything from beginning to end. Somebody in Jubilee mentioned this, and I don't remember who, but one of the preachers talked about it. That God from the very beginning, from the foundation there, Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you can't tell God anything new. God, you can't surprise God. You can't come up with something that God doesn't already know. And so God knew from the very beginning, from creation, that I would be saved. He knew that. But that does not change one bit my choice that I have to make about Jesus. Amen? Yeah. You get that in your mind. Accept that truth that it's a reality that God knows everything there is to know. He knows it from beginning to end. He knew from eternity past who would be saved. And so when he's talking about here, we're making an application now of this scripture concerning those that he's seeking and those he's going after. He knows who. Now, I believe he speaks to everybody. I believe that here is the gospel he speaks. And there's any nudge in your heart at all about being saved, you ought to thank God that the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart and dealing with you to come to Christ and be saved. Amen. The greatest thing that ever happened to anybody is the day the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart, brings conviction to you, and draws you to the Lord Jesus Christ and shows you that you're lost and going to hell and that you need Jesus as your Savior. And this morning we got talking about the reality of heaven and hell in my new convert class. And there is a reality of heaven and hell. It's a real place called hell and it's a real heaven. I'm glad for that there is, and I praise God. I don't praise God people are going to hell, but I'm glad we got such a holy God that he prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Amen. And if man goes, he goes because he rejects the love of God. And I said this morning in class, and I want to say it again, and it's not that God is not loving. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son to keep you out of hell. That's how much he loves you. If you go to hell, you go rejecting the love of God and will be in that place, and you can't blame God for not loving you. He does love you. Now, I won't get to what I'm trying to say, but knowing that God knows everything, but not that he sends some to hell, some to heaven, and gives them no choice. That's not the truth. He does give you a chance. He does give you an opportunity. He does speak to heart. He does draw. He does say, hallelujah, that's time. You can take time out and just shout on that. I'm glad God sought me out one day. I'm glad God gave me that opportunity to be saved and born in the family of God. He did that. He did. His salvation is of the Lord. We need to praise him for salvation. Amen. You remember the last five words Jonah cried in the belly of that fish? Salvation is of the Lord. I believe he kicked and crawled and tried to do everything he could to get out, but he couldn't get out. But when he cried, salvation is of the Lord, that fish got sick of that backslid preacher and spit him out on dry ground. And by the way, he did not spit him out and let him wade part of the way, swim part of the way, get out the best way he could. He spit him out on dry ground. When God saves you, he saves you, and you're saved completely. Amen. You're saved. I mean, that's it. And as far as God standing with God's concerned now, he's still working on us and moving on us and helping us to grow in grace and knowledge. But you're as saved as you'll ever be as far as salvation and being born again is concerned. When a baby's born, it's as born as it'll ever be. Amen. It don't have to say, I'm trying to get born. It's born. I'm looking at Josie sitting down there on Linda's lap. And Josie, she's a precious little baby. Because she's my great-grandbaby. That's why she's so precious. But, amen. But I look at her now. She's born. And she was born one time. And when she got born, she was born. And she was here. I mean, she's not trying to get born. She's not working toward getting more born. She's not trying to. She is born. Amen. I never had thought about that like that. Pretty good. But when you're born again, and by the Spirit and the power of God, you're born into the family of God, and you're as born again as you'll ever get. Amen. Because I'm a child of the King now. I will be a child of the King forever. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've been born into the family of God. Now, what I'm trying to say here, look at it. In verse number 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep, they are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. Verse number 16. I will seek that which was lost. This morning I'm going to deal with that subject of searching, seeking. I'm going to deal with that deliverance and bring them out, bring them in. Now, you say, preacher, that's a whole lot. Well, it won't take me a long time to do all of that, but I want you to listen to it. I want you to see the picture that I'm going to try to draw for you and illustrate to you here in just a minute. I'm trying to get this in my mind and your mind so we can get it all together. And said, I was reading verse number 11 and said, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I know sometimes God uses certain words twice to emphasize what he's doing, but I got to look at that word search and seek, and I began to think about them, and why then did he go on and say, I'll seek out my sheep? And every other time after that, he says, I'll seek, not search. But here he says, I will search my sheep and seek them out. Search my sheep. I looked up the word search and seek, and they overlap somewhat. If you look up a definition of them, it's looking for, it's examining and looking closely at, and seeking, trying to find. You remember playing hide and seek when you was little? Somebody hid and you sought for them. You tried to find them. Is that not right? They were somewhere you couldn't see them, so you sought for them and tried to find them. Searching, you can be searching for something and looking for that particular thing, wherever it may be. Now, this overlaps in somewhat, but I got to think about that in Luke chapter 15 when he's talking about the shepherd looking for that sheep that was lost out there on the mountainside. You remember that? He said he left 99 in the fold and went to seek that one which was lost, went to find that one which was lost. And I got to thinking about it like this, that God knows exactly how many are going to be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that last one got saved this morning right here and the trump sounded and we left out of here? I can't think of a better place to leave from than right here. Amen, in the house of God. But I got to think about the shepherd searching his sheep. He said, I searched my sheep. You can say he's doing it like this, searching his sheep. If you're searching for your cattle, you may be counting how many you got. If you go on a hillside and you own cattle and you're searching your cattle, you'll be counting how many you got because you know how many supposed to be there. And so that shepherd, I believe he searched out his sheep and got to counting 1, 2, 3, 20, 1, 2, 35, 36, 45, 46, 75, 76, 80, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Where's that other one? Where's that one? There's supposed to be another one in the fold. I know he's supposed to be there. Now, that I see is a picture here in this when he said, I searched my sheep. And then said, I'm going to seek that one which is out there gone. I'm glad God seeks for the one. I'm glad God's interested in the one. Amen. Just as sure as that shepherd in Luke 15 sought that one, God seeks that one here this morning. Hey, maybe more than one here lost, and maybe more than one here that God will speak to today. I pray there is. I'd love to see every unsaved in the house come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. But I want you to know today, he'll seek out. He'll seek you. I'm glad one day he sought me. That morning I got saved. I didn't know there was anybody else in the house when God got through with convicting me and working on me. I realized the fact that I was there. I was lost. I was without God. I needed some help. And didn't make it. I'd been looking around to everybody else. And I'll be honest with you, I'd look around to everybody else and I'd say, well, I'm doing about like they're doing. I guess if they're going to make it to heaven, I'll make it to heaven. That morning, God got through convicting. Now, he'd been speaking to me and dealing with me. But that particular morning, I saw myself lost and without God. He sought me out in such a way. He was seeking for me, knocking on my door. He was working on me. And I didn't have any choice. I mean, I had to come to grips with the fact I was lost. I needed God. And I had a choice to make what I was going to do with it. But I couldn't help the fact God backed me in a corner. And God convicted me and drew me. And you didn't either. Hey, when God came and called for Adam, he said, Adam, where art thou? You know what he's doing? He's seeking for somebody. He was seeking for him. He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to find out where he was. He wanted to save him. He wanted to get him back in fellowship. He broke fellowship with God. I was preaching just the other Sunday about Samuel. And God called Samuel by name. And Samuel didn't know what was going on for a while. But after a while, he did answer. But aren't you glad God sought you out by name? God knew who you were and God sought you out. And I'm glad God seeks out just like a shepherd seeks. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that just for a little bit, about that seeking. And I went to Arrow this morning and I asked her for something and she didn't have it. And so I look here and I don't find it. There's Joseph, but she don't have what I'm looking for. And so I'm looking for that one. God's looking for that one, a particular one. And God knows everything, so I know where that is that I'm looking for. And God seeks out that which he's seeking for. I'm glad, hallelujah. I don't want anybody to go out of the house today and say, that preacher preached today that certain ones are going to go to heaven, certain ones are going to go to hell. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that God, he seeks out those that he knows. And so he knows. I know where I can find what I'm looking for. I found it over here with Jesse this morning. And I'm going to get it right now. That's a lamb. That's a sheep. Fact is, it's got some pictures on it. They're not all sheep, got some elephants. Ignore that, that's a sheep. I wanted something that had legs in it and something that had arms in it. The Bible says, and this ought to bless your heart, the Bible said that when that shepherd found that sheep in Luke 15, now listen, the 99 was safe out there in the fall. And we're saved, we're born again. That one was somewhere and he sought it out. It gotten lost. Sheep don't have a sense of direction. They can get lost. They can go behind a cliff, can't find a way back around it. Shepherd has to find them and keep them together and keep a flock together. But he's seeking that's lost. Today, people in this house is lost without God. And you're out there and you can't find your way by yourself. God has to come to you. And God this morning sending a message to come to you to find you where you are. And when that shepherd found that sheep, now he had already looked at his sheep. He knew how many was there. And he knew one was missing. So he went to find the one. And when he finds it, he found it. Now, I found this over here in this corner over here. I found what I was looking for. Arrow didn't have it. It wasn't over there, but it was over here. God knows exactly where you're sitting in this building. He knows exactly where you are. And the Holy Ghost will come exactly in your seat and speak to your heart. And you say, preacher, you don't know that I'm lost. No, but God does. And God knows exactly where you're sitting and what he's going to do. And then he delivered. That's why verse number 12 said, he not only sought that sheep out, but he delivered. Delivered means to pick up, get out. If you've been delivered out of something, you got out. Amen. And so I picked this up. I got it out and delivered it. I am glad, praise God, for the deliverance that God brought. Amen. He didn't just find me and leave me there, but when I responded to him, and he delivered me from the place I was. As sheep was over there, going to die, going to not get fed, couldn't get help. It was by itself. But the shepherd went where it was. And when he got there to it, I wanted the feet and legs. Well, sheep have four legs. But anyway, and we'll just make like it's all legs here. Amen. And so the Bible says in Luke 15 that he put that sheep that he found on his shoulders. If you put it on one shoulder, it'd be like that. But it said put it on his shoulders. It means he put it like that. And here he's holding both. Boy, hallelujah. I love that picture. Amen. Do you think that sheep is afraid of anything right there? You think he's been delivered right there? You think that shepherd, that sheep on the shoulders, that shepherd is afraid he's going to drop him? Why are you afraid you're going to lose your salvation? Amen. If the shepherd has got you, he's got you.
Amen.
If he's holding you, how in the world can that sheep may shake around a little bit, but he's not going anywhere. I'm glad my position in Christ Jesus is right. I am secure. He's got me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to fall off because he won't let me fall off. He's holding to me. I say, whoo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the shepherd is holding you and delivering you? And the Bible says he not only went where he was and sought him out, but he got him and delivered him. Now he got him up here and delivered him. And then said he's going to bring him into, going to bring him out of. He brought him out of where he was. And that's what God did for us. He brought us out of where we were. This sheep's not over there where it was. It's in a new position. It's now in the pulpit. It's now in church. Amen. He brought out. He brought out where he was. He said from the places. I want you to look in verse number 13. I'll bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. You'll not be going to the same places, nor with the same crowd. Amen. He said, I'll bring you out from that crowd. It won't be the same people. I'm glad today, thank God, I'm not with the same people I used to be with. Now, some of the same people I was with in church, that's fine. But some of the crowds you was with that drank liquor and cursed, you drugs, and went in all kinds of ungodliness and filth. Aren't you glad God brought you out?
Amen.
If the shepherd ever really gets you, you'll come out of the bars. You'll come out of the beer joints, amen. You'll come out of all those drug houses and all that kind of stuff. Hey, when Jesus delivers, he delivers.
That's right. Amen.
He brings him out. I'm glad God brought us out. Amen. We're, hallelujah. That ever dawned on you, you'll have a fit. God brought you out. You're not in the same country you used to be. You was in a country that was doomed. It was dry. It was dark in verse 12, the latter part of verse 12 says it's a cloudy and dark day. We know we're talking about tribulation, but let's think about when you was lost. Wasn't it dark? Wasn't it cloudy in your life? You didn't know what life was about. I used to look for life. I wanted to find out what life was about. I tried to find life. I looked for life. And I believe most people do sometime in their life. They're trying to find out why do I exist? What's it about? And why am I here? And where did I come from? Where am I going? And all that. And it's good to ask those questions because you need to know where you came from. Need to know why you're here. Need to know where you're going. Amen. God created you for his glory. That's why you're here. And then you're going to heaven or hell. But when that shepherd finds you and puts you on his shoulder, he leads you out from that crowd, away from that country, and puts you in a new country. I am now in a new country. I'm in a heavenly country. I am now part of a heavenly family. I am now part of the redeemed crowd that's going to glory. I say hallelujah and praise God forever. Amen. But not only that, notice something else. Verse number 13 again. He said, I'll bring you out, but then says, I'll bring them to their own land. Feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. He said, I'm not going to bring you out, but I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to bring you into your own land. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got in. I'm in church. I'm in the family of God. I'm in the redeemed crowd. I'm not out there somewhere else. God brought me in. Hallelujah. But it didn't just bring me in, but it brought me in. He's going to feed me. That's what he said. Look at it, verse 13 again. I'll bring them to their own land, feed them upon the mountains. Verse 14, I'll feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall the fold be, and they shall lie down in good fold. In verse number 15, I'll feed my flock. I'm glad God feeds us, feed my sheep. Remember, Jesus told Peter, said, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. God feeds us. He took the sheep, brought him out of, delivered him where he was, brought him out of that place, brought him into something new, and then fed him, took care of him, gave him what he needed. I say hallelujah. Are you in today? Are you a part of the family of God? Have you really been lifted up? Brought out of that miry clay? Have you been set free? Have you been brought into the family of God? Have you been set in the place of redemption? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Just myself and God. Have you been brought to that place where you know that you're safe in Jesus? That he's got you and you're not going anywhere. As far as salvation is concerned, being born again, you're born as you'll ever be. Saved, born again, child of God, going to heaven. You know that for a fact today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, just myself and God. If you really know that you're saved, would you hold your hand up high? Just for the glory of God, hold it up high. Thank God that's good. Now today, if you don't know that you're really saved, you don't really know that. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody. I am trying to help you. But today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody in the house say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that. Would you pray for me? Anybody here like that? I can't help but believe it's somebody God spoke to. God dealt with somebody's heart that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Somebody here today say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but my life's not where it needs to be with God. I'm not as concerned about those sheep out there that's lost that I need to find. See, Andrew found Peter and brought him to Jesus. Philip found Nathaniel, brought him to Jesus. God uses people to help find those sheep. That's out there, those ones that he's wanting and knows he's going to save. He needs somebody to go. Are you willing? God speaking to your heart, God dealing with your life. Father, I pray today the Holy Spirit deal with hearts, deal with lives, draw them to Jesus. We'll praise you for all you do. Lord, I don't know in this house. I can't see the hearts. I can't see the mindset. I don't know where they are. But Father, you do. And every person here, God, that's unsaved, I pray the Holy Ghost bring that conviction. And Lord, we can't make it happen. We can't. It's your work. It's your convicting power. It's up to you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you do that for your glory. I pray you touch hearts and lives and draw them to Jesus. Then I pray today that, Lord, you'd help people that see that you're the one that can help them if they'd only let you help them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that they'll come. But somehow this morning, Lord, you burden my heart about the unsaved, about the lost. And you're speaking to their heart and drawing them, seeking them, going where they are. And Father, in this house, although I saw no hands, you laid a message on my heart. And I believe, God, you're speaking to somebody here that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, maybe somebody here needs just to get right with you. I don't know, but in this invitation, have your way. Do what only you can do, and we'll praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, I want your heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet.